The prayer of Jesus in John chapter 17. And as we think about this, I just want to remind you that though we know that Jesus prayed very frequently, there's not a lot of account of what he actually prayed. Right? There are two passages, one in Matthew 11, verses 25 to 27, and in John 11, 41 to 42, that actually spell out the prayer. I'm sure it was a small part of what Jesus prayed. So we don't really know quite what that was about, what was involved in the prayers that Jesus prayed. So we come now to a whole chapter which is about prayer. It sits in between, chronologically. I've got a chronological Bible, which I couldn't bring today because I'm not strong enough to carry it. But chronologically, it sits somewhere after the Last Supper in the upper room and Jesus being arrested. So it could well have taken place in the Garden of Gethsemane when Jesus was alone. There are three components to it, and it's often called the high priestly prayer. As we move into John 18, we're immediately into all the events leading up to the crucifixion. So we just need to bear that in mind, of where it's situated as we think about what Jesus did. When you face death, I'm told that it brings into sharp relief the important things in your life. And so Jesus, I believe, is given a heartfelt prayer as he prepares himself for the cross. So in he's going to read the first part called Glorify the Son in verses 1 to 8 of John 17.
I think you might have your... I'm sorry, I'm going to have my back to you. The prayer of Jesus. After saying all these things, Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. So that is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth. I brought glory to you here on earth, by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours. You gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you, for I have passed on to them the message you gave me. They accepted it and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me.
Thank you. So in those few verses, verses 1 to 8, Jesus asks that the Son be glorified. The prime reason for Jesus' coming was not for human beings, but to show how good and gracious God is, and the way in which he has provided the way of salvation. Jesus came to do the Father's will, to speak the Father's words, to do God's planned works, to live in a close relationship with the Father, and to show how to please his Father, how to please God. He was there as an example. As Jesus goes to the cross, he will have completed all that the Father wished him to do. So he asks that he will be restored to the original place in heaven with the Father. Christ, of course, was there at the beginning of time at creation. And we're reminded in John, aren't we, of that passage, the beginning of John 1. Jesus will be there at the end of time, a judgment time when he comes again. But at the end of this first time, when he visits the earth, Jesus has completed all the Father has asked him to do. And therefore his plea is that as he goes to the cross, as he is resurrected, and as he is ascended, he will glorify God, and God will glorify him as he takes him back to be with himself. End of part one. We're going to sing, Speak, O Lord, as we come to you. Thank you.